Tonight, I preach a sermon about peace in the family. And you might say, well, preacher, why would you preach a sermon like that? Aren't we enjoying great peace in our church? And we are. And I'm so glad that we are. It's a gift from God. But sometimes, the Lord just wants to remind us of what we have and remind us that we need to protect what we have. And so tonight, here's what I want to do. I want to use the human family and make some comments about the human family, about peace in the human family, and then I want to apply them to our church family. I was reading a sermon this week about a preacher that was talking about church unity, and he made this statement that really stuck in my mind. He says, the important thing is not that we not have problems. The important thing is when we have problems, how we deal with them. And I can't remember, I know Brother Leonard and I have been together a couple different times this week, and we were talking one time that we were together, and I can't remember what time it was this week, but we were talking about the fact that even though we're saved and on our way to heaven, we still have this old nature that we have to put up with. And that old nature is not going to go away until we get to heaven. Now, the old nature can't make us do anything. Greater is he than is in us, the Holy Spirit. If we claim the power of the Holy Spirit, we can defeat the desires and the urgings of the old nature. But that old nature is still around. And sometimes we give in to that old nature and we say things or do things or hurt each other when, if the Holy Spirit was in control, we wouldn't. And as a result, we don't have the peace that God wants us to have. And this preacher also made the statement, he said this, he said, the sad thing about strife is the longer it goes, the harder it is to fix. And he used the illustration, I've heard it before, and I think I've used it before, and there's a lot in the news the last couple days about the Mississippi River and how it's reaching flood stages, in Memphis and further points south. But if you go up to Minnesota, to where the Mississippi River starts, it's just a little creek. And you can step across that creek very easily. But if you follow the path of that river and you go down to New Orleans, it takes a lot more effort to get across the Mississippi River in New Orleans than it does up in Minnesota where it starts. And the preacher said that's the way it is with strife or with fussing, whatever you want to call it. If you deal with it and take care of it when it's small, it's easy to fix. But the longer you let it go, the harder it is to fix and the more people that are hurt. And so tonight I speak mainly to Christians. I speak to members of our church family, and I want to make 5 points tonight. And again, I'm going to use the human family and apply the principles to the church family as I do. So here, my 5 points, you can track where I am in my sermon as to which point I'm on. And if you think I'm going too long, just start looking at your watch, and that'll be an encouragement for me to go longer. Okay. All right, point number one, Dad wants us to get along. Dad wants us to get along. In your family, both dads and moms want their children to get along. You don't like it when they're little toddlers and they fight with one another. You don't like it when they're teenagers and they fight with one another. And you don't like it when they're adults and they don't get along. And there's been some families in our church where moms and dads have been heartbroken because their adult children cannot stand to be in the same room with one another. And it makes it real difficult on days like today and on birthdays and Christmas and other holidays when the family should be together as a family. And when children don't get along, it breaks dad's heart, it breaks mom's heart. Now, the same thing is true of God. As our Heavenly Father, He wants us as members of the same family to get along. And it disappoints Him and displeases Him and hurts Him when His children don't get along with one another. The second greatest commandment is love one another. John wrote, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another. In Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, let nothing be done through strife. In the book of Proverbs, it says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. And I could give you scripture after scripture, command after command, encouragement after encouragement, proverb after proverb, precept after precept, but I don't think I need to tonight. Every mom and dad knows what a heartbreak it is when their children don't get along, regardless of what age they are. And every Christian knows in his or her heart, knows in his or her mind, that God expects there to be peace in his family. That's the way it's going to be in heaven. Did you ever stop to think, you know, I believe God has a sense of humor. I really believe that he does. And here's what I think is going to happen. If you're fussing with one of your fellow believers in Christ, who do you think you're going to live next door to in heaven? Forever. Huh? You might as well. I'll never forget Brother Dowling. And some of you didn't know Brother Dwayne, but just a prince of a guy. So mild and so meek. And he had a guy that lived next door to him that had a motorcycle. And this guy would go out at all hours of the night and start up his motorcycle, and his driveway was right next to Brother Dwayne's bedroom. And I can remember this mild-mannered man coming in on Wednesday night during testimony time, asking for prayer, saying, "Please pray for me that I don't shoot my neighbor. I want to just get the shotgun out and shoot him when he starts up that motorcycle." But when we get to heaven, of course, we're going to get rid of our old nature, and maybe that will help us get along. But we might as well figure out how to do it down here. We might as well get that taste of heaven down here and get the hang of how to get along. You know, sometimes we sing that song, "There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place." And there is. You can't come to this place very long without feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And I tell you what, if we don't figure out how to protect and maintain and preserve what we have in the peace and the unity we have in this church, it's going to be hard for the Spirit to stay. He expects us to have peace in this place. And so God, our Father, Dad, wants us to get along. Number two, God tells us how to get along. In this book, he explains how the human family is to work. The father, the dad is to be the head of the house. He's the one that needs to set the boundaries. He's the one that needs to, you know, head the place up. In the Bible, it tells us that the wives need to be submissive, and we spent time on Wednesday night. It's not, Dad says, "I'm the boss woman, do whatever I say." It's not that, Brother Nick. Don't shake your head and say amen. It's Dad loving so much that the wife knows that the husband has her best interest at heart, and so it's easy to be submissive. And then the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And so in the Bible, God tells us how to get along. If we follow the precepts as he's given us as family members, we can have that peace in our homes. He also tells us how to get along with our fellow believers, how to get along in church. I think one of the best examples is in Genesis chapter 13, again, using a human family. In Genesis chapter 13, it's a story about Abraham and Lot. And because God had blessed them, they both had a lot of animals, a lot of cattle, a lot of sheep, a lot of oxen. And their herdsmen, the people that took care of the animals, were fighting over the available pasture land. And Abraham came to Lot. Now, again, Abraham was Lot's uncle. And he came to Lot, and he said this, "Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren." He says, "We're brothers, we're part of the same family. We should not fight like this." And here's what Abraham did. He said, "Now, Lot, look around. Pick the land that you want. If you pick over here, I'll go over here. If you pick over here, I'll go over here. Just, it's not right for us to fight. Just pick what part of the land that you want, and I will go the other way." Now again, Abraham was the oldest. He was the wisest. What Lot should have said, oh no, Uncle Abraham, you're in a better position to make that choice than I am. You pick and I'll go the other way. But that's not what Lot did. What Lot did was looked at the well-watered plains toward the city of Sodom and said, boy, that looks like really good land. That looks like really good pasture. I'll take my cattle over there, and I'll feed my cattle over there, and I'll get rich. And you know the story, and I don't have time to tell it tonight, but Lot moved his animals and his family on that well-watered plain of Sodom and ended up living in the city, ended up falling into sin because of the associations that he had with the people of Sodom. And again, his life, I believe he was saved. I believe we'll see Lot in heaven because the Bible talks about his righteous soul and how it was vexed by the people that he hung around. But here's the key. Here's the key how to have peace. And it's repeated many times in the Bible. Different words, same thought. And let me just read a verse from Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So here's the key. If there's strife, give in. If there's strife, defer. If there's strife, esteem other better than yourself. That's what Abraham did. He was the elder. He was the patriarch. He had more experience. And yet he said, Lot, I don't want there to be strife between us. Pick wherever you want to go, and I'll go the other way. You know, many people, even Christians, get into this position where they think, well, I got to win. I just got to win in this situation. I want to tell you tonight, peace and harmony is better than winning. You can win and lose. You can. Peace and harmony is better than winning. Well, somebody else will say, well, it's not my fault, it's their fault. And we want to put blame on the other person. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. Peace and harmony is better than not having to accept the blame. People say, well, and I've seen this, well, I just got to have the last word. Did you ever have a tiff with your spouse where you both thought you had to have the last word? When would that end? Huh? Somebody has to say, okay, honey, I'm going to quit now. You can have the last word. And peace and harmony is better than having the last word. Listen to me. Jesus was the rightest person that ever lived. And yet he deferred and went to the cross and died for our sins, to make peace between us and God. I've told you this story before, but I think it illustrates the point. This church didn't have air conditioning. In the back of the church, they had this great big exhaust fan. And when they opened the windows and turned on the fan, there was a nice breeze that would start at the front of the church and just blow out the back as it was sucked out of that church. Well, the young people in the church really liked the breeze because they got hot and it made them feel good. The older people in the church didn't like the breeze because it made their bones ache. I know how that is. I don't know if I mentioned this morning, but I was talking to my mom this morning. She said, how are you doing? I says, I'm so sore, I could barely get out of bed. I have figured out that I cannot work physical labor 2 days in a row. I'm too old. And yet, I look at some of the guys that worked the last 2 days and say to myself, how can they do it? How can they do it? So anyhow, here's what would happen. It would get to be summertime. They'd open the windows. A young person would go back to the back of the church and flip on the fan. It would run for a few minutes, and then an older person would go back to the back of the church and flip it off. It would be off for a little bit, and everybody would get hot. The young person would get up, go back to the back of the church, flip it on. And then the old people would get a little cool, and an older person would get up and go back to the church, back of the church, and flip it off. Well, they had revival. Preacher came, and they had revival. And after revival, still in the summer, a young person would go back to the back of the church, turn off the fan. An older person would think the younger people were getting hot. They go back to the back of the church and turn it back on. And so on and so forth. You get the drift. That's how we keep peace. That's how we keep harmony. We don't always have to be right. We don't always have to have the last word. Sometimes it's just better for us to say, even though we're right, I'm wrong. You can win. You can have your way. Because again, in most cases, peace and harmony is better than having the last word or being right. Number three, strife affects all badly. It affects the people that are involved in it. It affects the people that are around it. And it affects the people that are looking in on it. So just think about it in your family. You're not getting along with somebody in your family. It affects the two of you. Let me just use husband and wife tonight as an example. If you're not getting along with your spouse, it affects the two of you. If things are not right between the two of you, you know about it. It affects how you feel. It affects you physically. It affects you emotionally. It just not getting along affects the two people that are involved in the strife. It affects the people that are close to you. In this family illustration, it affects your kids. You know, your kids can tell if mom and dad are not getting along. They can tell if there's something between you, if you're not on the same page, if you're not on the same wavelength. I mean, even these little ones. I mean, they don't have to be teenagers to figure this out. They can be 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and they can tell. They may not be able to explain it. They may not be able to explain what's going on. They may not even understand what's going on. But they know when things are not right between mom and dad. And then, so it not only affects you, and not only affects those that are close to you, but it affects those that are looking in, those that are looking at your family. I mean, they can tell there's something wrong, and it affects them. Now, the same thing is true about a church family. When we're not getting along with one another, it affects us. I mean, it affects the two people that are involved. I mean, when things are not right between two Christians, it affects those two Christians. It affects them emotionally. It affects them spiritually. It affects them physically in many, many cases. It also affects those that are closest to them. I mean, they're friends. They can tell when something is not right. And by the way, when a church has strife in it, all those on the outside know that it's going on as well. And here's what they say. Hey, there's strife going on outside the walls of a church. There's strife going on in the world. Why would I want to go to a church where they're fighting inside the church? And they don't. They don't come. They're driven away because they don't want to be a part of a church that can't get along. There's many people on the fringes of Christianity, on the fringes of discipleship, that are driven away from salvation, that are driven away from service by strife. And yet, when people see a church where there's a good spirit, where people are getting along, that's the church they want to come to. That's the church they want to be a part of. That's the church that they want to keep coming back to. Number four, peace is everybody's job. In a family, maintaining peace in the family is dad's job and mom's job and the children's job. It is everybody's job. It's not just dad's. It's not just mom's. Children have as much responsibility for maintaining peace and harmony in a home. In fact, every member has responsibility. So it is in a church family. It's not just the pastor's job. It's not just the Sunday school teacher's job. It's not just the deacon's job. It's not just those that are in position of leadership. Peace in a church family is the responsibility of every single church member. It doesn't matter how long you have been a member of the church. You could have been here for years and years and years, or you could have been here just for a couple weeks. It doesn't matter. Every single person has a responsibility to promote, to propagate, and to protect peace. Matthew in chapter 5, one of the Beatitudes says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And then point number 5, peace requires constant vigilance. You can't get it and say, "Okay, I got it. Now everything is fine. We don't have to worry about it anymore." That's one of the reasons I'm preaching this sermon. I think we're enjoying great peace. I think the Spirit of God is present every time we get together. And the reason the Spirit of God is present is because we're getting along. And we have peace. Now when we get to heaven, and we get rid of our old natures, and we're free from the presence of sin, then we can sit back and say, "Okay, we don't have to worry about it anymore." But while we live on this earth, while we live in these bodies, the admonition in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 applies every single day. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And let me just tell you, he wants to do that in your families as well. He does. He wants nothing plead the devil more to get between husband and wife, between parents and children, between children and children. Look, that's what the devil, that's his desire, to cause disharmony in the home, to break up homes. And he has the same desire for the church. Best way, devil knows, best way to get us off course, best way to stop us from serving God, best way to stop us from telling people about Jesus, best way to stop bus routes, and best ways to stop ministries is to get us fussing with one another. He knows that. And so, be vigilant. Because he'll look for opportunities. I mean, we give him a little crack. He'll be sure to put something in there and say, "Okay, I'm going to make it a little bit wider. And a little bit wider. And a little bit wider." Now, we have this peace with one another because we have peace with God. In the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, our sin put us at odds with our God. But our mediator, our daysman, Jesus Christ, made peace. When he paid for our sins, he made peace between us and our God. And if you're here tonight and you don't have that peace with your God, it's because you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can have that peace. All you got to do is come and ask Jesus to save you. And then, let me just say one more thing, and then I'll be done. The more time that I spend in this book, the greater my peace. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Psalm 119, 165, where the Bible says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee." Nothing. Now just stop and think about that. Great peace have they which love thy law. Not just peace, but great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I was talking to Terry and Becky not too long ago, and I can't remember what we were talking about. They were worried that they'd done something to offend me. And I quoted this verse to him, and I said, I'll tell you what, you guys are going to have to work really hard to offend me. And of course, Terry said, okay, we'll do that. No, just, he didn't really say that, just kidding. But I said, you don't have to worry about offending me, because I love this book. And that's why I spend so much time in it. That's why I'm going to continue to spend time in this book, because I want that great peace. I want that great peace. I love every single one of you. I don't want nothing to come between us. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to stay in this book. I'm going to love this book. And I'm going to have that peace that only God can give. I hope you want it too. Say tonight, you say, preacher, do we have a problem? Nope, not that I know of. If we have one, you need to tell me, because I don't know of one that we got. But I know this, God's pleased with the peace and the harmony that we have. But he also wants us to be vigilant to protect it. So if you're tonight, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to make peace with God tonight. The only way you can do that is through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it instructs us, it encourages us, it does in our lives what needs to be done. I thank you for the harmony and the unity that we enjoy in this place. I pray, Father, that we would see it for what it is, a gift from you, enabled by you. And Father, I pray that we would do our part to protect it, that we would be vigilant. We know the devil wants to mess it up. And I pray, Father, you'd help us understand that every one of us has a responsibility to protect it. Bless this time of invitation. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. If there's something we need to do, help us to be obedient tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.